Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm telling Bill and Craig Purdy to get their golf swings ready. Auto, home, life, business. Boat, motorcycle, RV, whatever it may be. Could be bundles. They'll do everything they can to save you money. And the idea is to make sure you're fully insured. I mean, customer service means everything to them. You want to go to somebody where it's not just lip service. They mean it. That's Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Before we get to the play-by-play call of the day, congrats to the Penn State men's ice hockey team. One with relative ease on Michigan Tech to get to the Elite Eight, and then a marvelous game. Of the Elite Eight games, it was really the only one that was competitive. Quinnipiac won easily. Minnesota won with ease. BU won with ease. Penn State, Michigan. Penn State, 8 minutes to go. They're up 1-0, and Liam Soulier was unbelievable yesterday. And Michigan got a power play goal on a terrific play, and then won into overtime. Michigan goes to the Frozen Four, but a great run by the Penn State men's ice hockey team. And this is after the women's ice hockey team made their first ever NCAA tournament. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day, and then more Matt Anger.
San Diego State looking for the win. Butler, get it in. A rope, hands it to Trammell. 3 seconds, 2 seconds. Trammell drives. He's fouled. Darion Trammell will go to the free throw line.
See that left hand on the hip? I'm a big believer, Ian, in that if the offensive guy makes a play at the end of a game and he's fouled, you have to call it. Now, some people say this may not be much of a foul. But does it affect the offensive guy's motion to the basket and getting a shot off? And you're pushed a little bit, it throws your timing off.
Shireman, the southpaw, tosses deep. The ball is knocked up in the air. The officials are holding off for a moment to check the clock. So we got a lot going on here. They've determined it's over. For the first time in school history, San Diego State is going to the Final Four. A heartbreaking loss for Creighton.
Yeah, it sure was. Foul call. I mean, yeah, it probably is. I don't know. Trammell missed the first, then he hit the second to his credit. And let's face it, after missing the first, what you wanted was him to hit the first and miss the second, because missing the second one wouldn't have made any difference, except run the clock out. And it turned out he missed the first. Basketball is interesting, and I've talked about this before, but I'll mention it here. And the why did the NBA go to six fouls? Because too many of the stars were fouling out of games. You don't need your stars fouling out. And I've talked about this for years, and so I'll bring it up again. I feel that if a guy gets a fifth foul, regardless of how many team fouls there are. If a guy gets a fifth foul, it's three free throws. If a guy gets then, and it's three free throws on a sixth foul, it's three and a seventh, it's four and an eighth. I'd rather see that and keep better players in the game. But that's just me. In other words, okay, you kept him in, but the penalty is every time that, you know, he fouls, it's going to be more free throws. I mean, you may want to change it five, six, make it three, and then seven, make it four. But, it would keep players in the game. Just a thought, if I'm sitting in a room and we're brainstorming, it would be something I would bring up. Instead of going to six personal fouls, hey, you want to keep it at five? Fine. Five is three free throws, six is three, seven is four. Because people want to see the better players out there. Just a thought.
Believe it or not, I was actually okay with the call.
Oh, I had no problem with the call. That call has nothing to do with how many fouls were on the guy. That's the end of the game. I mean, does he then put his hand on him and grab his shirt? Yes, he does.
I thought it was close, but I still thought it was egregious enough to make the call in that spot.
Well, he doesn't make the shot because... it was enough to make the shot go off to the left because he turned him.
Yeah.
I'll never forget Bob Knight showing me a demonstration of this about, you know, why hand-checking was bad. And the ability, like Knight was a strong man, right? I mean, but he says, look, if I put my hand here and I could do that, you can turn a guy. Right? I've had a varied career.
Yes, especially when you talk with one Bob Knight. But it was perfectly explained, though, basically what you just said, by Jim Spanarkle on the call with Iron Eagle and Gene Steratore, who I think of all these rule experts that they have on all the broadcasts now for football and basketball, I think he is the best. And he was one of the best to officiate. And I thought he's the best at doing this rules analyst thing. He was spot on with everything in that game. Yeah, Gene Steratore.
Yeah.
He was spot on with everything that happened down the stretch in that game yesterday. And he has been before.
Well, I personally like Gene. So, always have liked Gene. He did a lot of games in the Jordan Center. And, I'd say, geez, Gene. I said, I go back to when your dad officiated. He goes, oh, see, that's how the relationship, the ability to talk to somebody. I knew his dad. He says, you go back that far? I said, yeah. I said, but the key is you got way more hair than your dad did. He goes, yeah. He says, now I like that. So, all right. As I mentioned earlier, this is the first time where I think we can really look at name, image, and likeness, and we can see where maybe it made a difference. You know, in getting a team to a spot. And Jim Larrañaga has to do a great job to make this all happen. And look, let's be honest about it. You know, I mean, who was the lead recruiter on Isaiah Wong, by the way? Just to localize the story. Who was Isaiah Wong's lead recruiter? He's out of Philadelphia, you know. It was Adam Fisher. Just like Fish was also the lead recruiter on Lonnie Walker out of Reading. When they got him, he's with the San Antonio Spurs now. He was a first-round pick in the NBA. So,
He's actually with the Lakers now, Lonnie Walker.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, guys move around a lot. So, yeah. I mean, that's just the way the league is.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the way the league is. But I'm just saying, but, you know, they've been getting some good players in there. But Jack Ham and I were talking earlier today, and I said, Jack, I said, that's a $500,000 backcourt. He goes, what? I said, yeah. Nigel Pack, $400,000 this year, $400,000 next year, too, plus a car. Isaiah Wong's NIL is $100,000 this year. So that's a $500,000 backcourt in college. Yikes. So if you're wondering about the impact of NIL, and, you know, if you're a Penn State fan, you saw Miami play in here last year. They beat Penn State by 6. That's basically Poplar, Jordan Miller, Isaiah Wong. Now, Pack was at Kansas State last year. But, you know, there's a lot of the same guys. And that's what's happening with the sport. The sport is just older now across the board. There are no star freshmen playing right now. I mean, who was the star freshman that stood out in the tournament? I mean, Brandon Miller didn't really have a great tournament, especially his last game. But that's it. Who's the star freshman? Who's the kid? They're all older players now. Transfer portal, COVID year, NIL, those three things have conspired to make the sport older. It's conspired to make every sport older. That's why this two-month period, this 8-9 week period in basketball, and it's the same thing in football, that 8 or 9 weeks after, you know, right after the end of the regular season, that 8 or 9 weeks, I mean, that's the toughest time of the year for coaches. Because you're not only trying to recruit freshmen or high school seniors, you're also trying to recruit in the portal. Oh, and by the way, you're trying to recruit your own players. It's just not easy. It's a tough time of the year.
And then if you get any of those star freshmen, then they're off to the NBA most likely, unless the NBA changes that in the next CBA.
Which they will. I mean, there's too much pressure on them to not change. They'll change.
Agreed.
It.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, you're talking about Brandon Miller from Alabama. They're thinking, like, he's not the first overall pick in the draft. They think he's fifth.
I agree.
I mean, it's not, well, I don't know. That part I'm not sure as to who should be where. I'm not going to pretend I know. But I'm just saying, who are the star freshmen out there? It's interesting. I saw today that at Duke, the Proctor kid, the guard, coming back for his second year. Look at all the guys at North Carolina that are coming back, starting with Baycott. North Carolina now also has 5 guys that entered the transfer portal, including Justin McCoy, who originally committed here to Penn State and then decommitted. Then he went to Virginia, and then he went from Virginia to North Carolina, and now he's back in the portal. Strange times. You look at that. Look at the Texas team. I mean, Timmy Allen, New Mexico State. Okay. Dylan Dessou, Vanderbilt. Hey, Tyrese Hunter, Iowa State. Right? Marcus Carr, Pitt, Minnesota, finally at Texas. I mean, this is how teams are made up these days. I mean, that's who they are. This is the way everybody's going. They're going with older players, the maturity level's higher, the ability, and for whomever gets the coaching job here at Penn State, whomever does. Again, Evan Mahaffey did put his name into the portal today. All right. Whomever gets the job here obviously is going to have to lean on the transfer portal. There's no getting around it. The coach that comes in here will then get at least something to work with, because Penn State, this is year 4, since the last foreign tour. They're going to do one in August. You're going to at least get a chance to play two games in August. I'm trying to remember if it's the Bahamas, Bermuda, someplace like that. It's, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, they're not going to Europe. But they're going to be able to play in a tournament in August. It'll at least help the new coach that comes in to at least evaluate, take a look at some players, in-game situations and combinations and so forth to get them a head start when it comes to training camp. So at least they'll get that. I think a lot of you did not know they were going to get this tour. Now, whomever gets that job, we don't know who it's going to be. The March Madness payouts per conference. I already mentioned, by the way, that Conference USA will get all of Florida Atlantic's, and Florida Atlantic will get zero because they're going to the America next year. So the SEC, and this is all based on how far teams went. The SEC is going to get $34 million. The Big 12 will get $32 million. The Big East will get $30 million. The Big 10 will get $28 million. The ACC will get $24 million. I mean, that's why being in a power conference pays off.
Does it say what Conference USA is getting right now with Florida Atlantic to this point, just out of curiosity?
We'll just take four and multiply it times 338,000.
Okay, so it is the same. Okay, it is the same amount.
Yeah, so that comes out to what, almost 1.4 million? But see, what happens is it then rolls over. This rolls over a six-year period. Okay, it's like it's done in units. So in other words, Penn State went out and earned the Big Ten two units because they played two rounds. So it's going to be 1.4. It's going to get up to 1.7 when they play in the final. So I was wrong about this. It'll get to 1.7 when they play in the semifinal. That'll be unit number five.
Yeah, that was good math by you. 1.35 mil is what they have right now.
So the inability of you people to trust me on the fly.
Oh, my almighty!
I mean, the suit needs a spotter when a team scores a touchdown. Kevin, that's plus six. All right, we'll come back.
S-U-I-T, that spells suit.
Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Miller will hoist, and that is it! San Diego State has done it for the first time in school history. They're going to the Elite Eight.
Tonight belongs to Miami. The Hurricanes take out the one seed and advance to the Elite Eight for the second straight year.
Yep, you go. By the way, Rodney Terry is going to get a 5-year contract at Texas. So just so you know, Rodney Terry will get a 5-year deal with Texas. I believe they have a press conference set up for tomorrow.
As he should. Well deserved.
Just watched him coach 2 games right in front of me. Colgate and obviously Penn State. That was impressive the way he handled his team. And people forget, first time around working on Rick Barnes' staff, exactly who was the lead recruiter on Kevin Durant?
There it is.
Suit gave me that info. No. So.
Oh, my almighty!
No? No. Not really. How'd you like my little thing about the spotter, Kevin? That's sick.
That was pretty good. Because
you're
actually
so mean.
during basketball season, Chief is the one that keeps the book.
Oh, really? You know what? I don't keep. Now look, I have an iPad. So because I have an iPad, I've never written down. In fact, I've never written down anything in a broadcast. You know that?
I've done it before, but I haven't done it recently with any of my broadcasts.
Yeah, I just haven't. I haven't felt a need to. And now, especially with the stat broadcast deal, you don't have to really worry about it. The only time I was really tempted to was when Larry Johnson was trying to break Lydell Mitchell's single-season rushing record. And it turned out he got it on a 40-yard run. I didn't have to worry about it.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Why do I sense the anger management tour isn't done yet?
No, today, those are just the two things there that kind of irked me over the weekend.
Oh, come on. The audience knows better.
Well, actually, I lied. I do have one more.
I knew it.
Yes. I lied. I do have one more.
All this brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I think Phil sent me a message, which I did reply to it, which is so good. I mean, Phil and Craig, great guys. Adam, awesome. Steve Engel, terrific. Okay. Summer, fabulous. Auto, home, life, business, RV, boat, motorcycle, doesn't matter. You want to be fully insured, whatever your insurance needs happen to be. You'd also love to save money if you could, and that's where these guys work so hard. Customer service means everything to them. Is it Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury? Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, part 3 of the anger management tour.
And this is kind of praise to the NBA world, specifically the national media type things, where I am proud, and the odds makers too, I guess, to some degree, I am proud that they have finally recognized what Joel Embiid is doing. And he is now the front runner to win NBA MVP.
Oh, my almighty!
I can't believe it. Has hell froze over? We're not talking about the Joker or Giannis or anybody else. Joel Embiid's actually the front runner. Like, we actually see how he's putting up 34.5 points a game, which is something nobody has ever done in the history of the game other than guards, like a Kobe, a LeBron, and like a Michael Jordan. the guy that's an 87% career free throw shooter, the guy that knows how to actually play defense well, the guy that doesn't take off plays, a.k.a. you curmudgeon George Karl, you. I'm stunned. We're actually recognizing the fact that Joel Embiid is the best player right now out there. I can't believe it. I'm just so excited that he's actually the front runner. He doesn't even have to win the award. The fact that he's the front runner now of the NBA MVP race, I take that as a win. So if he doesn't win it and the Sixers can finally get over the hump and get at least to the conference final, I'm happy with it. Because you know what? The national media has finally gotten the clouds above their head, above all of the front-runnerism that is in the NBA sometimes. And we're finally recognizing what to me is a transcendental player. So I applaud that the NBA and all the other stinking national media out there that don't have their eyes ball glued to anywhere else but LeBron and the Joker and Giannis and are finally recognizing good talent when they see it. So it's all good.
There are 450 players in the league thereabouts, right?
Yeah, about that, sure.
Last year, 447 were rated in back of him. Exactly where is he being disrespected?
The fact that he wasn't number one is what I'm talking about. It's obviously no question he's in the top three. But then where it goes from there?
But nobody cares. Who cares? He cares because he gets a bonus for it. He cares because of the recognition.
I don't even think he cares necessarily.
Cares?
Not necessarily.
He takes plays like George Karl's right. He takes plays off. Watch him.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
No? First of all, you know, Jokovic is a heck of a player. I mean, so don't sit there. Anytime you give to one, okay, you always take away from somebody else. Don't do that. And he's averaging 34 points a game. Unheard of at this position? Wrong. Will Chamberlain, when you're average 50, same position. Right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I know it's right. So what he's doing is not unheard of, unprecedented, whatever, but he shoots threes, and to have a big man like that have that kind of ability.
It's been quite a while, impressive. Though. That's the point. It's been quite a while.
He's a great... But look, what? You're telling me, what, Jason Tatum doesn't deserve some recognition? You're telling me that... I mean, Giannis has certainly earned all of his accolades. Jokic has earned his accolades.
Oh, yeah, I don't necessarily have a problem with the players themselves. It's the people that are in charge of naming these awards that I have a problem with. I have no problem with the players at all. They're great players. I enjoy watching them play. I have no problem with the players themselves.
All you do is put down the other players. You can't just put them down. You got to be able to just. I have no problem for you advocating for your guy. He's done fine. I think for the most part, it's irrelevant. I mean, it really is irrelevant. You know what relevancy is? Giannis has a ring. That's relevant. Right? I mean, Giannis has a ring. That's relevant. You want the ultimate in recognition, right? Okay. Winning rings means a lot. Jokic does not have a ring. Jason Tatum doesn't have a ring. But at least Tatum's been to the final. You haven't been out of the second round, have you?
Yeah, that is something that he needs to accomplish.
Now,
there's no question.
Now, remember... Now, remember, when they're doing MVP voting, it is always done after the last regular season game. It does not include the playoffs, just so everybody knows. But it doesn't matter. I mean, sometimes I swear this city is so desperate for any kind of positive recognition because of, let's face it, certain elements. Okay, where you sit back and go, okay, let's boo the NFL Man of the Year. Let's boo Santa Claus. Stop bringing that up. Then stop doing it. Okay? Nothing's changed in 40 years. You got to recognize our guy. Your guy gets recognized all the time. His 447 players were recognized in Beckham last year. He finished third. That's fine. Third's great. He didn't finish 300. He didn't finish 100. He didn't finish 50. He finished third. 447 guys in back of him. I'm just telling you. You hate my attitude.
I don't necessarily disagree.
So there you go.
But now I think I'm good now.
Okay. So make sure you're all right. Every team in college football now, at least among major ones, has analysts. And remember, for example, how Nebraska got in trouble for having one of their analysts, I think it was during COVID, but conduct special teams drills on the field, which you're not allowed to do. It looks like in advance of the 2023 season, American Football Coach Association Executive Director Todd Berry says that analysts and other off-field staffers, there had been a proposal to allow them to coach during practice that is not expected to pass. Berry said he's a little upset about it because he said, quote, I've told the group, the coaches, I'm disappointed because we led people to believe that something was going to happen. And not just us, but a lot of entities, because there were a lot of conversations kind of going on privately and publicly about that this was likely going to happen. And while I know that there's always the risk that things aren't going to happen, to turn out until they actually happen, and you don't do things until they actually happen, we have a lot of coaches who had made moves based on the assumption. And now you're talking about their whole career has changed. In other words, I didn't take a job here, but I took a job here as an analyst because I was still going to be able to coach, right? They say that the rule is not going to pass before this upcoming season. They think in the near future they're going to get official word of it. There's been overwhelming support for it, but one team official said there are two reasons why it's not going to get home this time. One, everyone agrees any staff member should be able to coach during practice, but it's somewhat split on anyone coaching during games. Two, schools are preparing for student athletes to be employees, so they're trying to have the money to pay them, and they don't want unlimited coaches. This is going to be, moving forward, that last part is going to be critical. Now, I can understand why, for example, why teams are looking at whether they should coach in games or not. That part I understand. I think, you have a coaching staff for a reason. But if you want them helping out at practice and doing certain elements in practice, I'm perfectly fine with that. in the game, that's why you have a coaching staff. Then it becomes really their job to coach the game. But as for the second part, this is the critical part. A lot of schools don't know what the future holds in terms of the ability to, with student athletes, to get money. Is it going to be strictly NIL or under a potential collective bargaining who then become student athletes who are employees? I mean, I'll give you an example. Let's just talk pure insurance. Yeah? Pure insurance. So since Purdy Insurance is sponsoring today, I think it's the perfect time to bring it up. I think that the way it works is, you know, these NCAA insurance plans, right, it's interesting how football, right, is not really a part of the, you know, especially financially, is not part of the NCAA financial structure. In other words, the college football playoff is a separate entity, correct? So we've talked about that many times. Yet, under the guise of the money brought in from the basketball tournament, that's how they're taking care of insurance for student athletes. It's interesting. So I would be fine with analysts doing work in practice. I have no issue with that. I mean, you know, quality coaching, smart, intelligent, the whole deal. I got that part. During the games, okay. You know, so that part I'm fine. And that part you can discuss and you can work it out. And I think everybody pretty much would be on the same page of that. It's the last part. Oh, boy. If we start letting the unlimited number come in, we're going to have to pay these people. Okay, we can do that now. But what if we have to start paying the student athletes? What if that happens? And it's not just paying the student athletes playing football and men's basketball. We're going to have to start paying student athletes. You know, it would have to be, in all likelihood, and across the board, of paying student athletes in sports that don't balance the books. It's really a very fine line, isn't it? And that's what's starting to worry some administrators. I mean, our, quote, down the road, are we going to have to start paying them as being employees? Or are there going to be some sort of rules on name, image, and likeness, more rules on the portal? Are they, you know, what's it going to be like? And nobody knows what the future structure looks like. So now this is the first real time I've heard about people couching their bets in part because, and it's maybe a bad phrase to use, but couching their future budgets with the idea that they're worried about having to give beyond cost of attendance, which they're already doing, but money out of their own budgets for student athletes at a higher rate. How about that than cost of attendance? Just interesting. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Clark decides to take. Why not?
And Jones just threw a hand up in the air like, what more can I do?
Was it Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, of Iowa. She has been awesome. It's amazing the amount of national recognition she's getting. It's been great for women's basketball.
Good for her. She's done a great job. And she had a triple-double last night, including 41. And they're in the Final Four. Kim Mulkey has LSU in the Final Four, the last two spots tonight.
And first time, men or women, that you had a 40-point triple-double in the tournament.
And that's she's a terrific player. No getting around. She's a terrific player, and she's done a lot for the game. She's given the game a lot of great publicity. No getting around it. And I know she's played a couple times at the Jordan Center and has been terrific here. And obviously Iowa has a really, really good team. South Carolina still is the one people need to beat. And UConn is not going to be there this time. UConn had too many injuries this year. So.
But I also think this kind of tournament, too, is good for the women's game because most often it's been chalk, the tournament. So it's kind of easy for people to put their brackets. It's nice to have a little bit of chaos with this, too, because I think that'll get more people watching because ultimately that's why a lot of people watch the men's tournament because you never know what's going to happen.
Well, what's the chaos? They're a two seed. No offense.
Well, in terms of seeing like when Stanford went down, like I'm talking about like that kind of chaos because more often times than not, yeah, it is the one or two seeds that are normally in the Final Four. You never see, that was at least the first time I've seen a one seed go down as early as Stanford did in the women's
Stanford
tournament.
Stanford lost to us 16 years ago. They lost to Harvard. So you don't think I know any of these things?
Oh, I know you do.
It's like, you just think I'm just sitting here. You know, what the heck? You think I'm just sitting here thinking about playing golf with Bill and Craig Purdy and Adam Purdy and Season and then the whole group? And
oh, I can't
Steve
blame you for that.
But no, I mean, you know, I'm not just sitting here thinking about that. Okay? I'm sad. You just don't think I know anything. But, I mean, for the most, I mean, look, South Carolina's going to get in there a one. I don't even know what the dang games are. Let's see. I'm sure they got them on here somewhere. Maryland, South Carolina, it's a 1-2. Virginia Tech's playing Ohio State, that's a 1-3. And you have a 2 and a 3 that made it. Okay. And it's great for Caitlin Clark. She's done a great job. Triple-double, whole deal. And I just saw the JT Realmuto tape. He should be suspended. Just kidding.
Well, I thought you were talking about the umpire, which I would concur.
No, JT ought to be suspended. It's awful. No, he didn't do anything wrong.